Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
In Idaho, Chad Daybell is sentenced to death after being convicted of the murder of his wife and the doomsday cult mom Lori Vallow's two children. In Minnesota, an officer is ambushed and killed after trying to assist a man he thought needed help. And in Massachusetts, a stabbing spree leaves the suspect laughing during the attack. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, June 5th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And we're back.
We're back in the saddle. Happy hump day, right?
Yeah, it is hump day. Hump day Wednesday. My favorite day of the week.
Right? I don't know how they got that name. We'll have to look it up one day.
I named it.
He named it for Real Life Real Crime Daily specifically, right? We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you so much for liking and tuning in and listening and sharing and telling people about it, y'all. You're going to get consistent drops. And again, shout out to KJ, Kelly Jennings, and really Jim Chapman, who covered a bunch of shows by himself last week when I was out. But here they come, y'all, and let's get into some true crime time for Wednesday.
And look, I was really interested about this first case we're going to bring you today. I'm sure unless you've been living under a rock, you know about the doomsday mom, Lori Vallow. Yeah. And, of course, Netflix did one of the best documentaries I've ever seen on that.
Right. Leah Marie sent me tons on this last week when I was sick. Just crazy.
Just absolutely crazy. Well, Lori Vallow eventually went to court and got convicted and got life in prison for all of this. But Chad Daybell kind of been sitting on the sidelines and hadn't had his trial yet. Mm-hmm. His trial has come to an end. He was convicted in the murder of his first wife and Lori Vallow's two children. And not only was he convicted, he was sentenced. And his sentence was death.
Good thing for me.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean,
if anybody deserves
against the death penalty, if it was your kids that got murdered and you murdered your ex-wife and and this dude was a piece of shit regardless.
That's right. So a jury has found 55-year-old Chad Daybell guilty of murder and several other charges for killing his first wife and his second wife's two children in 2019. Daybell was convicted of 3 counts of first-degree murder, 3 counts of conspiracy, and other charges related to the death of 16-year-old Tylee Ryan, 7-year-old Joshua J.J. Vallow, and 49-year-old Tammy Daybell. He was sentenced to death, and because this is Idaho, he could face a firing squad.
Yeah, yes.
Daybell's case had been in courts for 3 years. He and then new wife Lori Vallow were indicted on 2021. And as I told you, she went to trial last year and was found guilty. She was handed 3 life sentences, but still faces trial in Arizona for killing her 4th husband, Charles Vallow. Mm-hmm. Vallow and Daybell wed 2 weeks after Tammy Daybell was found dead in October of 2019. Daybell claimed she had been sick, but an autopsy report showed she died from asphyxiation. Vallow's brother, Alex Cox, shot and killed Charles Vallow in 2019, and Cox is no longer alive.
Right.
The Rexburg Police Department conducted a welfare check on JJ at Vallow's home on 2019, and that's what kind of started all that ball rolling. Mm-hmm. And it has led up to finally both of these individuals getting sentenced to life for Miss Vallow and death for Mr. Daybell.
Yeah, and rightfully so. And y'all, I'm sure most of you watched it. I don't really watch a lot of true crime shows, but I watched that. Holy shit, man. There's so much into it and how they got the relationship started through the religion thing and the cops come to the house and, you know, the guy.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just so much. And then your own kids.
One of the most bizarre cases.
Yeah. It's just absolutely crazy.
Seen.
And you know what? And I saw her mugshot last week. I was laid up. Boy, she's looking rough now.
She was pretty, very pretty.
Yep. Yep. She's got
She got the
prison face on her now. Yeah. Speaking of that, have you seen that thing, The Jinx?
No.
All right. So Joshua Ebar, great lifer, great friend, turned me on to it. And normally, I wouldn't watch that shit. Like Making a Murderer, I watched that.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
The shit up in where Shane's from in Wisconsin. But that Jinx shit, holy fuck, man. It's just so out the box, dude. But so if y'all got a chance, go watch that one.
What is it about?
This dude's is like a billionaire. And from the time of his childhood, whatever, he ended up getting arrested in Galveston for murder and dismembering the dude, right? And cutting him up and throwing him in the bay. They took him to trial, fucking not guilty.
Ooh.
And he didn't deny. He said, yep, I cut him up, but he said it was an accident on the shooting part. Well, then later on, his best friend gets murdered on, Christmas Eve in Los Angeles. And he was like, oh, I didn't, a bunch of fucking lies. And his first wife disappeared.
Wow.
And she was in a 4th year of medical student. They still don't have her. And this asshole's dead now. But anyway, it's really, really, really interesting from a criminal mind standpoint. And Lori Vallow and this other asshole, good riddance to them. And I hope he gets, well, I shouldn't say that, but I hope he gets what's coming to him. So you like to go to the movies, bro?
I don't do it often, but I enjoy it when I go.
I used to go to the movies so much when I was younger, especially during the daytime.
Oh, yeah. When I was young, I loved it.
Sneaking out and shit, and fucking going there, it's a discount ticket. And
a big thing about popcorn. For more
theater. Oh, yeah.
$1.
Going there during the middle of the day and there's nobody in there and shit. I loved it. And then I hadn't been to a regular theater in probably 10 or 15 years. But you remember the shooting in the theater in Lafayette, Louisiana?
Yes.
They killed numerous people, right? And, this one proves that. You don't have to have a firearm to kill somebody. And in Massachusetts, y'all, and I'm sure you heard about it, this guy, Jared Raviza, went on like a stabbing spree. But let me tell you about it, okay? And one of the victim's moms says her daughters were among the victims of a stabbing spree that left 6 injured across 2 towns over the weekend, and she says that the suspect was laughing the whole time when he was stabbing people.
Oh, my gosh. What?
Two towns. So he does it in one place. I'll tell you about it. So the Plymouth County District Attorney's Office says 26-year-old Jared Revisa is now facing multiple charges following his arrest in connection to the stabbing attacks at an AMC movie theater in Braintree and at a rest stop in Plymouth on Saturday night. I got a call from my sister that my oldest daughter had called, and I needed to get to the AMC movie theater right away because they had been stabbed. Honestly, I just got in my car and headed right there, Lisa Dombowski told reporters regarding the first incident in Braintree. And police say four young females between the age of 9 and 17 got stabbed. Oh, they're still alive, though, thankfully, right? Now, you send your kids to the movie theater, and some dude just going to whip out a knife and get his business on. So there were only four people in the movie theater, like, thank God, and they had just sat down. They had just got their popcorn and Cokes and stuff, and I guess he came up behind them in the row. They were in the second row, and he came up behind them, the mom said. My oldest was leaned over to get something. He got her in the back, and then my other daughter in the top of the chest, meaning he stabbed me off. Then my last daughter, he cut her across the arm, and he was laughing the whole time. And then he stabbed their friend also, and he ran like a little bitch. Mm. Right? The mom said her daughters are now physically fine but are shaken up and terrified that they could just go to a movie on a Saturday night, and this must have been a shitty movie if it's only four people, but on a Saturday night, and this could happen, someone could just walk into a movie theater and do this. And officials say the movie theater stabbing happened around 6 p.m. before Ravisa allegedly carried out a second attack targeting McDonald's employees.
Oh, wow.
Right? At a rest stop along Route 3 in Plymouth, about an hour later, y'all. That attack, the district attorney's office says, left a 21-year-old female and a 28-year-old male injured. Investigators reviewed the surveillance video from the McDonald's restaurant that shows Ravisa reached through the drive-thru window and stabbed the male victim with a large knife. And the video then shows Ravisa leave the drive-thru in a black Porsche, park the car, go inside the McDonald's, and stabbed a second female victim.
The fuck,
shit. Right? And then he hauled ass, y'all, and they got him about at 7:15 p.m. at a sandwich in Sandwich, which is a town in Cape Cod. And a witness at McDonald's reported the license plate and the registration to the Massachusetts State Police, and it was determined that the black 2018 Porsche Macan was registered to Revisa. Then they put out a bolo as standard, and they were able to find him later on, and he's facing a buttload of charges. But why? I mean, I don't know. We're probably going to hear more about it. I mean, you're driving a 2018 Porsche. It's in your name, and you just go into the theater and start stabbing people. And then you go to McDonald's, stab them through the window, and then pull around part. Maybe they asked him to pull up and wait on his fries or something.
Yeah,
he's like,
you got pissed off.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Look, sometimes unstable people, maybe right. That's all it takes. Now,
I expect that'll be
that's horrible,
but he shouldn't allow.
Yeah, freaking crazy, man. I'm
laughing,
you got to worry about everywhere you go nowadays. Seems
you're
like right.
You're absolutely correct.
We're gonna go to Minneapolis,
Mississippi. I was there for Monday Night Football, this past year with the cousins' crew.
Brand new stadium up there,
it was amazing.
Well, sadly, a Minneapolis police officer has died after being ambushed by a shooter he was trying to help. On Thursday, May 30th, Minneapolis Police Department responded to reports of a double shooting. Officers received and exchanged gunfire immediately upon arrival before Officer Jamal Mitchell was injured and taken to the hospital, where he later died. The assistant chief confirmed a second officer received non-life-threatening injuries during the shooting, and the suspect was pronounced dead at the scene despite officers rendering first aid on him. Two adult victims with gunshot wounds were located on the scene. One was pronounced deceased, and the second was gravely injured. Christ. A firefighter also received non-life-threatening injuries during the gunfire. Mayor Jacob Frey said during a news conference that today the city of Minneapolis lost a hero in police officer Jamal Mitchell. The officer gave the ultimate sacrifice to protect and save the lives of others. Today is a devastating day in the city of Minneapolis, calling the victim a courageous hero. Mitchell was a father and engaged to be married. An innocent bystander was believed to have also been shot in the area where Mitchell was injured, about two blocks away from the original call's area. The bystander is in critical condition as well.
It's crazy.
Horrible.
Is that every day?
Yeah, everywhere. Man. You gotta work, wake up, go to work.
Just thinking you're gonna
get shot and killed. It happens.
Prayers go out to the
far too often. Once is too often.
Yeah, but victims found it's become the norm now, bro. Because everybody's got social media and shit just goes out. That's why on the last episode, I wanted to read the Chicago victims. You hear about another 13 people get murdered and 53 shot. Tell a story about them like you just did. But take you down to Terrebonne Parish, and y'all hear us talk about that often. That's down in Houma and Thibodaux, that area, yeah, way south Louisiana, Cajun country. The best people in the world. Go down there all the time to go fishing. I did a recent episode on Real Life Real Crime Original where the old sheriff, they blew off his leg in an attempted homicide attack.
Yeah.
It was another sheriff, the guy that had been sheriff before, that he beat him out.
Oh, anyway, wow.
But good people and all. But, you know, it's grown a lot. And let's go to Terrebonne. And a Thibodaux couple, y'all, that's Thibodaux for you outside of Louisiana. A Thibodaux couple has been arrested in connection with an investigation into the abuse, torture, and attempted murder of a 15-year-old girl, right? Sheriff Tim Sonier says the girl was found badly burned, shot multiple times, and clinging to life after a vehicle crash in Baytown, Texas on April 20th around 11 p.m. Now, Baytown, y'all, from down there is probably Baytown is just the side of Houston. I'm guessing 4 hours. So that's a bit of a drive, right? So authorities in Baytown received calls of the vehicle driving recklessly on I-10 East before crashing on a service road. And LaTanya Harris, who's 40, and her boyfriend, who's 41-year-old Terrence Washington, who was driving the car, where they were taken into custody or arrested, naturally. The victim was taken to a hospital, and another 10-year-old child was taken into custody. So they had no one in the car, right? The sheriff, Sonia, he called the burns to the girl's upper body gruesome. An investigator of Baytown described her injuries, which included gunshot wounds to the chest and face, as the worst she has seen in her entire career. Now, Sonia says the girl suffered third and fourth degree burns to 30% of her body. And during an interview, Washington admitted to sexually abusing the victim for numerous months. And he also admitted to shooting the victim during an argument with Harris at their home in Thibodaux. He says he was holding a gun in his hand and it went off, striking the victim in the face. Well, that's typically, you want him to talk and admit to it, at least to doing it, right?
Sure.
And that's, what else is he going to say? But Sheriff Sonia says Washington initially told detectives he was responsible for burning the girl in February of 2024, which the couple was treating at home.
Wow.
How are you going to explain that one?
Yeah.
Accidental? Sheriff Sonia says after shooting the girl, the couple and the victim left for Texas with another 10-year-old girl child in the car. And after they crashed and they were arrested, the minor, the 10-year-old, was taken home to Louisiana by a family member. And during an interview with the Special Victims Unit, the 10-year-old said she woke up one night during the Mardi Gras season to the sight of the victim's body being on fire. Now, y'all, I would assume this is a relative, right? They're not going to tell you that because they're kids. She reportedly described Harris standing over the victim's bed with a bottle of rubbing alcohol in a lighter. Detectives also learned of gruesome details of the victim being shot on two separate occasions within a home, which went untreated as a family traveled to Texas.
Wow.
Well, this is like a fucking house of horrors, right? So they did a search warrant on the family's home in Thibodeau, and the detectives found evidence of a shooting, blood, and the strong odor of infection and decomposing flesh. Remember, they didn't treat her for the burns. They didn't take it in. You take a kid into a hospital with burns on them like that? Oh, yeah. I've had cases like that. Your ass is going to fucking jail.
Yeah.
Right? So they're trying to hide it. They go back and interview Washington again, and he backtracks in, y'all. He tells the detectives that Harris blamed the 15-year-old for the sexual abuse, set the girl on fire while he was at work. He's blaming on the mama now, and refused to seek medical treatment. I'd say they're pure evil, Sheriff Sonny said.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's going on mentally, they know the difference between right and wrong. And Harris refused to speak with detectives after being released from a Texas hospital, and he was taken into custody in Terrebonne Parish. She was booked for attempted first-degree murder, second-degree cruelty of a juvenile, and domestic abuse, child endangerment, and she's being held on $1 million bond. Maybe that wreck was what brought this to light, Sheriff Sonny said. Might have been a different outcome, right? Fucking crazy. The DA, Joseph Waltz, a good guy, says the photos are shocking to the conscience and that even putting the couple in jail for the rest of their lives may not heal the mental and physical scars of the victim. Will we get justice for this person? I don't think that we can. We'll put them away. But whether or not that will be true justice, is there true closure here? I don't think there can be. Washington was booked on a slew of fucking charges, y'all, and they're all locked up. It goes on and on. Of course, they face, if not life, multiple decades in prison and all that.
As they should.
I don't believe they deserve to breathe. These are the people who the death penalty was made for.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. You burn that little baby up, and the cops hit the house. They could smell the decomposing flesh because you just didn't want to take her to the hospital.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
What you put on that? A little Vaseline or something? Fuck sticks.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I'm going to spit on them if they were here.
Well, we're going to go to Florida, and I don't have a story much better than that.
This is true crime.
This is true crime. A Florida man, police arrested him. He was 58 years old on suspicion of secretly placing cameras in the bathroom and bedroom of his ex-girlfriend's daughter.
Nice.
So according to a news release from the Ocala Police Department, a mother contacted police after finding out about a hidden camera in an electrical outlet in her daughter's bathroom. An officer recovered the device, and get this, Woody, police said it was blinking and aimed toward the shower and toilet. During an investigation, the mother reportedly told authorities she used to be in a relationship with this guy. His name was John Butler, and he lived with them at one point. Police responded to the home again in reference to another camera found in the daughter's bedroom. The device was reportedly disguised as a Wi-Fi repeater.
So a second time.
A second
they get
time.
One camera and they go back a second time.
And this particular device looked like a Wi-Fi repeater, looks like something that would strengthen your Wi-Fi.
Look, 30 years
didn't
ago,
look like a camera.
30 years ago, when I had PI business, I mean, I had hidden cameras and shit we put in. They'd be in clocks and stuff like that. I can only imagine how advanced it is now.
Yeah. So it was hidden in plain sight, as I guess you could say. And Butler actually installed that several years ago. So imagine the footage on that. Yes. A detective arrested Butler at his place of work, Butler Insurance. This guy was an insurance agent.
Takes all kinds. I hope that he had something that the images were going to, so they could find them all.
Yeah, they said it was hooked up to like a cloud. Yeah, so he could, it was like real time.
Every single picture, every single nude video is a charge.
Yeah. A detective arrested Butler at his place of work on a charge of video voyeurism. And the suspect agreed to speak with officers for an interview. But then when he gets in the interview, he invokes his Fifth Amendment privilege.
We had a lot of these, like on airplanes and different shit. I mean, fuck, motherfucker, get on your phone and look up some free porn.
Yeah.
I mean, don't – I don't get it.
Disgusting.
But, they – and I said it once, I'll say it a thousand times, the FBI has proven time and time again, almost as important for a sexual deviant, which this guy was, to do some type of act is to record it in some way.
That's right. And, we were talking about this the other day, I think, with KJ, but – the laws now are coming around to kind of trying to catch up with technology.
Right.
So now you have the revenge porn laws where, a girl might have a picture of a guy in a compromising position or vice versa.
Yep.
And if you release that and, go on social media and blast it or something, that's against the law now.
Yeah,
you can go to jail for that.
3 or 4 years ago, and one of the cases was here, and they had these revenge porn websites.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a big deal, and now they don't have them anymore.
Nope.
You go look up revenge porn right now, you can't get it.
So. Yeah, Netflix did a big documentary on a particular revenge porn website. Dude was making millions per month.
Didn't care. Just ruining people's lives.
So,
I mean, what you do behind closed doors, more power to you. I don't give a fuck, right?
But it needs to stay behind closed doors unless you want it outside of closed doors.
When you do it between two people or four people, whatever's going on, it's a consenting adults. And then if you break up, don't go be showing other people's junk and business.
Yeah. Could be six people or eight people.
Not even.
You never know.
Yeah, right. Could be some kinky shit going on.
Yeah,
kinky,
but kinky. You get in a fight with somebody and they want to blast it. So don't do that.
So let's go to Colorado. And a Colorado man pled guilty to killing a family by setting their home on fire in 2020. Mm. Right. He wanted revenge after his iPhone was stolen, but targeted the wrong house.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Five people, including two young children, were killed in the fire.
Oh,
Colorado man set a house in Denver on fire in 2020, thinking he was avenging the theft of his iPhone, but like I told you, he had the wrong house. But last week, he pled guilty to killing an uninvolved family who lived there. Right. So Kevin Bui, BUI 20, pled guilty Friday to two counts of second degree murder. And Bui, who was 16 at the time of the fire on August 5th, 2020, was prosecuted as an adult. Pretty sure he should have been.
Yeah.
The arrest affidavit said Bui's phone had been stolen during a drug deal.
Oh, whoa. Right?
Investigators said in the affidavit that Bui intended to set the fire to the house. To set fire to the house of those who robbed him. And according to testimony in the trial, Bui had used an app to track his stolen iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
However, investigators said in an affidavit that Bui somehow identified the wrong property and instead set alight the home on he set fire to the home.
That'll get his phone back.
Single lease. It was an immigrant family. And the fire resulted in the deaths of five people, including – a 21-month-old child, and a 6-month-old baby.
Oh, that's awful.
Right? So NBC News reported that as a part of the plea deal, we had another 60 other charges against him, including first-degree murder and arson, but they dropped him as part of the plea deal. He faces 60 years in prison, not enough time. That's called immigrant family doesn't vote, right?
Yeah.
The, that's crazy. But I guess, I mean, there's nobody left. I mean, or nobody there to fight for him. I don't know, man.
You know, when you try to locate these phones, because I'm notorious for losing my phone in my house. I set it down somewhere and then I'm running. So I figured out Find My iPhone pretty good, and I can go on that app and it'll at least show me if I've lost it in my house.
Right.
It, you know, but one thing to keep in mind with these apps is that they get you in a general vicinity, but sometimes it's a little off. Right. So it wouldn't surprise me, and not that it would excuse it either way, but it wouldn't surprise me if whatever app he might have been using was showing the wrong house.
Right.
And so they're only so accurate.
It happened to my oldest when she was in high school. She set her phone down somewhere, and thank God we had the app thing. And look, she rolled up on these people. They took it. And she rolled up at their house and was like, hey, you got my phone in here. And thank God they gave it back to her. But this guy wasn't alone when he did this, Jim. He had a couple homies with him. And but they were juveniles. And they already pled out. So one of them was Dylan Siebert, and he pled guilty to second-degree murder. And under a plea deal, he was sentenced last year to 3 years in juvenile detention and 7 years in a state prison program for young inmates. Another, Gavin Seymour, was sentenced to 40 years in prison after pleading guilty in March to a count of second-degree murder. So,
tell you what, you get that in Louisiana, it's automatic life.
Right, well, exactly. And the Washington Post reported last year that while apps such as Find My, iPhone, can be incredibly accurate, they're not entirely reliable.
There you go.
In 2022, a SWAT team in Denver wrongly raided the home of a 77-year-old woman while searching for a truck with stolen guns and an iPhone. So it's back in the phone in the wrong house. I don't know. It's crazy. Burn them up.
100% crazy. And it reminds me of, a story that is all over the news right now, but the ATF, speaking of raids, I wasn't familiar with this story, and I actually caught a clip on YouTube of a congressional hearing, and it was regarding this story. And so I got interested, and I ended up watching a 3-hour congressional hearing on, you know, they're deposing these people on this incident, but they had a guy in another state. And he was actually Little Rock, Arkansas, and he was the head of the airport there.
Right.
He was the highest paid public official in Little Rock, made like $300,000 a year.
Yeah.
Well, the ATF started watching him because he was selling guns at gun and knife
gun
shows.
Yeah.
Now, this was not his full time job. Obviously,
he was doing one week in a month.
Yeah, but he would buy. Say he'd go to the gun shop, pawn shop, mm-hmm. and he would buy, say, 2 guns at once, mm-hmm. and they'd be the same type of gun.
Right.
Well, guess what? You go on the ATF radar when you do that.
Yeah.
And he had purchased something like 150 guns in a couple of years.
Wow.
Now, I know some hobbyists that do that.
Man,
they have a lot of guns.
Yeah,
they don't sell.
Registered to me, yeah.
Yeah, and these were all registered to him, but then he would resell them.
Yeah.
There's
no law, and there's no law on reselling. You have to do the background check and stuff like that.
Right.
On the form to fill it out, I can tell you, I'm not going to do it because I'm going to give it a swim. I can tell you you answer the first question, yes, and the rest of them, no.
Yeah.
Long bar and then sign it.
Well, the major problem with this became he goes on the radar, and there is a law that says you can't act as a, reseller of guns without registering as a reseller
because
they want you to do the background checks if that's your primary business.
I agree with that.
This was obviously not his primary business, but the problem became they got a search warrant for his home, and they go to his home
and they had a no-knock warrant. Mm-hmm. So they go in. They don't announce themselves.
Right.
They don't go in, bust through the door, and say, ATF, put your hands right. up. Him and his wife are sleeping in the bed. The door busts open. He grabs his gun. They come down the hallway. He shoots at them. They shoot him and kill him.
Yeah.
His name was Brian Malinowski, and this is in the news big time right now.
That's crazy. Just a
good example of where some leadership failed somewhere. Mm-hmm. They should have, in my opinion, never have served a no-knock warrant on a search warrant. Mm-hmm. An arrest warrant, different. I understand mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But a search warrant means you don't even have enough evidence to arrest that person yet.
No. Well, I guess different ways. You could have enough. Let's say I send you in to buy crack from Joe Blow, right? And then you come back out and you give me the crack. I give you the money. Xerox copy it. You come back and you give me the crack, right? Mm-hmm. I'll do that numerous times. And, as many times I can do it and feel comfortable and get away with it, then I'll get a search warrant to hit the house when this guy's like, yeah, he had a bunch of more crack in his hand, right?
Yeah.
And you go hit it like that. You're going to arrest him.
Sure.
You already have it. And that you could get the arrest warrant ahead of time. But the thing is, like on this dude, the ATF, ATF.
And they knew who he was.
Yeah.
They knew this guy wasn't.
But they also knew that he had a shitload of guns. And no knock warrants. There's a place for him, bro.
I agree.
Only when you have credible evidence that this motherfucker's going
to
kill you.
And that is exactly what the law says. It has to be very limited, extreme circumstances. Right. Because things like this can happen. That can happen to any of us.
What they should have done, probably, and this, I mean, y'all playing backup quarterback, right? Armchair quarterback. Had I been commander of the SWAT team, and I did it for not commander, but I was on the SWAT team for a lot of years. I would have flashbanged every fucking window in that house. You know what I'm saying? Before I sent my guys in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sneaking down the hallway on a new night.
What are you gonna do if someone busts your door open tonight?
Exactly. But now if you throw a bunch of flashbangs through, first of all, you're incapacitated. You got snot and you can't see and everything else. And they could hopefully more effectively make an arrest without killing you. But he shot. Evidently, I get it. Yeah, you come in your house and that's a fucked up situation.
It is. Yeah. Anyway, so I went off on a tangent on that, but that was something I thought of when you told that story.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Now we're going to bring it in New Jersey. And this story is a WTF.
What the?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said when I read it. A New Jersey father who forced his 6-year-old to run on a treadmill as he increased the speed has been convicted for his death. On Friday, May 31st, following a month-long trial. Month-long, that's rare these days. Right. And nearly 2 days of juror deliberations, Christopher Greger, 31, was found guilty of child endangerment and aggravated manslaughter for his son, Corey McCullough's death.
Gregor was not guilty of first-degree murder. We're happy with the verdict, and we thank the prosecutor's office. That from McCullough's mother, Brenna McCullough. During the trial in which Gregor did not testify, jurors saw surveillance footage from a clubhouse in New Jersey that dated back to March of 2021. The footage showed Corey running on a treadmill as Gregor walked over to the exercise machine. The father began increasing the speed, causing Corey to stumble and fall. Whenever Corey fell off, Gregor would put him back on the treadmill and power it up further. At one point, he appeared to bite his son on the head in the video.
Jeez Louise.
Days later, Corey was taken to see a doctor and said his father made him run on the treadmill because he was too fat.
Oh, my God.
That's disgusting. A day later, he was taken to the hospital after he began stumbling, having slurred speech, nausea, and trouble breathing after a nap. He then suffered a seizure during the CT scan and died.
Jeez.
In July of 2021, officers determined Corey had sustained injuries due to blunt force trauma, and Gregor was arrested in 2022. Though his legal team challenged that his son died of an infection during the trial, his mother took the stand and said she filed for sole custody of Corey after she saw bruises on him. Meanwhile, prosecutors argued that although the treadmill incident might not have effectively caused the child's death, it proved the cycle of abuse that led to the tragedy. And Gregor's attorney said his client is not surprised and plans to appeal.
Well, you know what? All you inmates are listening illegally in Jersey. Find this fucker.
Yeah.
6 years old, bro. Let me tell you something. When
run on a treadmill, kid, you're too fat.
My daddy used to punish me when I was a kid by waking me up before school, making me lift weights and run a couple miles and then swim laps. Didn't matter how cold the water was, right? But it wasn't because I was too. You know, he was saying I was too fat. It was because I did something because Woody was a little badass, right? And he punished me because then he knew I had to go to school all day. Then he knew I had football practice after school.
Yeah.
And he did it. And that's, but a 6-year-old, bro, the fuck? And he must have fell off and cracked his head or something, had a subdural hematoma. And at some point, they're like, we got to take him to the hospital. Or the dad did.
Just abusing
his kid, I don't understand. Man. I don't understand. You got to have a license to drive a car, but there's no requirements. I guess it's America. No requirements to have a kid.
Right.
I mean.
It's disgusting. Somebody needs to beat that ass every day.
Or running on a treadmill because you're too fat.
Yep.
Hey, motherfucker, you burned him.
Yeah.
Sick. I don't know. Y'all, it's been a hell of a show.
Yeah. Right?
It's
a good one.
Good one. The good and hard crimes. Good.
Yeah.
Good in a crime way.
Right.
Right. And I really love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for listening and liking and sharing and all that good podcaster shit. Hey, fans, continue sending your stories. Leah Marie and Alex and whoever, everybody that you send it to Woody at reallifeworldcrime.com or Jim.
You can send it. You can just message it to Messenger page as well.
We'll
see them. So yeah. Anyway,
y'all are awesome. Thank you so much. We love you.
Yeah. Thank you. And please share, and like the Facebook page if you haven't already.
Yes. We'll
try to keep that updated. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more.
Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store.
Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.